CNN Radio. I'm Paul Chambers. Photos of Arizona Congresswoman Gabby Giffords have been posted on her Facebook page. CNN's Matt Cherry reports these are the first pictures of Giffords since she was shot in the head in a January assassination attempt.
Both photos show Giffords smiling and wearing glasses. The most notable difference in her appearance, her hair, it's cut short and darker in color. The pictures were taken May 17th at the rehab center in Houston where she's being treated. Giffords' staff asked photographer P.K. Weiss to do the honors, since he's known her for over a decade.
Breaking news this hour, CNN has obtained a statement on behalf of the 17-year-old student with ties to the Wiener scandal. The statement says the girl never received anything inappropriate from Wiener, and no photographs were ever sent by her or the congressman. Meantime, CNN's Dana Bash reports Wiener apparently wants to wait for his wife to return to the U.S. before making a final decision on whether he remains in Congress.
His wife is a top aide to Hillary Clinton. They have been traveling abroad as part of their official duties. She's supposed to get back midweek this week, and that he would make a final decision then. But it's very hard for them. It might make life very difficult for him in the Congress, but it is very hard for them to actually officially kick him out.
Former Utah Governor John Huntsman isn't shying away from criticizing his former boss, President Obama, telling CNN that the president has failed to get the economy going.
So I found in politics you've got about 2 to 2.5 years after you've been elected to get something done and to move out in a positive direction on something as important as the economy. And here we are.
And so you think it has failed on the economic side?
Failed on the economic front.
Huntsman was interviewed by CNN's Candy Crowley. For news anytime, go to CNN.com. This is CNN Radio.
Nothing puts a smile on Dad's face for Father's Day like a gift card from the Home Depot. Available in-store and online, it's a present of possibilities that lets him build better, grill greater, or score that special something he's been seeking. And when Dad sees how far your money goes for him, it'll put one more smile on his face for Father's Day. Check out HomeDepot.com/gift cards for all sorts of great choices. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
McCall from Rochester writes, what's your favorite hobby?
My favorite hobby is saving people money on their favorite hobbies. I quite enjoy connecting people who'd like to save money insuring their RVs, motorcycles, and ATVs through Geico.
That counts as a hobby? I thought that was your job.
Well, as the saying goes, love what you do and you won't work a day in your life.
Wow. If you're not working, that sure leaves a lot more time for camping and motorcycle riding.
Call Geico today for a free rate quote. Geico, saving people money on more than just car insurance.
This paid commercial may not represent the views of Hubbard Broadcasting Incorporated or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions of this broadcast are solely those of individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Get ready for Foodie and the Beast with Nikki and David Nellis. A foodie born and bred, Nikki loves dining out, chatting up chefs, and insider industry buzz. David thinks a great meal is a good burger, a frosty brew, and a check for under $20. Foodie married Beast. And now they have the Food and Wine Variety Show that has everyone talking. From famous chefs, winemakers, and brewmasters to authors, farmers, and restaurant critics. It's Foodie and the Beast, and it's on now.
Good morning, everybody. It's a beautiful Sunday.
It is a beautiful Sunday.
It's David and Nikki Nellis for Foodie and the Beast.
It's a pool day. Let's go to the pool.
Show's off. We're
Let's
going to
go.
The pool. I want to remind everybody that you can see this show if you want to see what goes on in the studio this coming Friday night at 8:30 on Washington Nonstop. That's cable channel 460 on Fios. I have no idea what it is on other systems.
You have to work really hard to find it.
Yeah, you got to work. So before we came in, we stopped off at the Bethesda Central Farm Market.
Mm-hmm.
And
we had a good time.
They've got an amazing... They jam up Elm Street from Wisconsin Avenue down to...
I wish you wouldn't say jam up.
Well,
they
no,
just
it's good
close
because
it down.
A lot of farmers markets have, you know, like three stalls and there's nothing going on. There are 40 vendors in that one block.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great. We've got Mitch Berliner, who used to be known to many in the food industry as the ice cream king of Washington. But these days, He and his partner, Ann Brody Cove, are known and better, certainly better known as the founders of Bethesda Central Farm Market.
Well, and later in the show, we'll talk about all the great things we bought there.
Yeah, we'll
and
get some good stuff.
Mitch will give us the 411 on some
of the... So tell us, what else is happening?
Oh, my God, you're interrupting me.
So what?
Mitch will give us the 411 on some of the very cool vendors there. But in studio, we will be talking to, in just a sec, Mike Isabella. Some of you out there may know who he is. He was on Top Chef. And more importantly, he's opening up a new restaurant here in D.C. called Graffiato. He's going to tell us all about it. And who else do
we have? Suzanne McGrath is back from The Curious Grape, but she's back in kind of a slightly different capacity today.
Mm-hmm.
She's also an ambassador for the Center for Wine Origins. And so in with her is Jade Floyd, who is with the Center for Wine Origins. And they're going to be pouring, and we'll be talking about and tasting some of the great
and pouring and pouring and pouring. There's
more.
Lots of glasses over
and
there.
You'll find out how the Center for Wine Origins protects the actual geographies that are appropriate for each of their, denominations, I guess you'd call it.
Well, and before we start with them, I also want to mention later in the show, Wicked is coming to the Kennedy Center, and we have the pastry chef from the Roof Terrace.
Ben McCormick.
He brought in all these gorgeous desserts that they are now going to be serving there. You can actually take your kids in and make some. So he's going to give us all the info on that. But I think we should get into our wine.
Well, we should start with Jade and Suzanne since they're actually pouring stuff.
Yes, they
for
are.
Us to drink.
Let's kick it off right.
All right. So, Jade, tell us, what is exactly the Center for Wine Origins and what's its mission?
Our mission is first to protect consumers and ensure that they're drinking the real deal, whether it's a champagne, a port, a Bordeaux, a wine from Napa, Sonoma. Our whole message is that location matters, and we want you to enjoy the wines. We want you to be educated, and we're also educating the sommeliers and the chefs and the retail stores.
So you're about all the rules and making sure people follow them.
Yes.
Is that the simple way to say
it? That's a simple way to say it, absolutely.
Okay. So tell us a little bit about what you brought in today.
What better way to start than with
you need
a
to get closer to the mic.
What better way to start than with a little bit of champagne?
Mm-hmm.
We brought a trio of champagnes, a trio of ports. All different styles, things that you can be drinking right now.
Okay.
One of the things that...
Suzanne, you have to get close to the mic.
You're on radio,
Suzanne. Nobody will hear you.
On radio.
Okay.
One of the things that I think is that people don't think about port during the summer, and mm-hmm. now's the time to drink white port cocktails.
I've never even heard of white port. What is white port?
Most people haven't. 95% of the ports are made with red grapes. White port is made with white grapes, and mm-hmm. it's light and crisp and fresh and nutty, and you should be drinking it right now.
Okay, but we're not starting off with white port. What are we starting off with?
We're starting off with champagne today.
Okay.
I have beautiful champagne from Bessarade de Bellefonte, mm-hmm. which is a really old champagne house. Everything we brought today is little boutique producers.
Okay.
Little names that you might not be thinking about, but it'd be a shame for you to miss them.
I just want to add that just this morning, Nikki described me as light and crisp and fresh and nutty, so that's...
Nutty would definitely be
what
the
a coincidence.
I don't remember the light part. Thank you.
Mike, you want to take a shot?
Good one for
I'm
Chef.
Good, I'm good.
All right. Well, let's bring in
Mike
Chef
Isabella.
How's it going?
Dun da da da.
Drum roll.
So when we originally booked this segment, we booked it. They brought you a little glass right there.
Thank you.
Because Graffiato was hopefully going to be open. And
now we want to say what up with that.
Yeah, your guess is as good as mine. No, everything is rolling. We're like really, really deep into Graffiato. Obviously, we're done with construction. We have the whole team hired, front and back of the house staff. If you walk by, you'll see me cooking in there every day, testing all the recipes.
Mm-hmm.
We're just trying to finalize some stuff with the city. Hopefully, we can have that done by tomorrow, and we'll have some exact
dates.
We're
going to make real nice with the city on air, right?
Of course.
We can't wait to work with the city.
Your two Lincoln Navigators have to be delivered. That bag of money.
No. Shh.
Oh, sorry.
Like, we could say that after.
I'd been open already if that was true.
Well, for those who don't know about your new restaurant, I can't imagine there's many in the city who don't. Give us just a little info and background on the concept.
Well, where and when? That's the other.
Graffiato is located in Penn Quarter. We're on 6th Street, like close to G, right across from the Verizon.
Mm-hmm.
It's a small plate concept. It's Italian-inspired. People ask me, what's Italian-inspired? So this is a lot of Italian flavors I grew up with as a kid in New Jersey, coming from an Italian family.
So it's Jersey-inspired.
It's really... Partially. There's always Jersey.
Is it better than the flavors we used to get on the turnpike driving north?
It's definitely better than the flavors, and the smells are also a little bit better.
Okay. But, thank goodness.
You know, but, you know, so we just take those and I kind of reincorporate them into dishes that I do now, into my techniques now. So it's not a lot of classic food. I mean, there's some simple stuff on there that's like, you know, traditional. But, you know, I mean, obviously there's a dish on the menu. It's like king crab with sea urchin and guanciale, you know, and, you know, what is that?
I don't remember that on any menu in New Jersey, but okay.
Exactly, you know. But guanciale is, you know, it's a charcuterie. It's a cured pork chow. So mm-hmm. it's stuff that, you know, my grandma cooked with in sauces and stuff. So, again, it's an inspiration of a flavor that I remember eating with her that mm-hmm. I incorporated into something fun that I think is exciting.
Well, let's talk about your menu design. Like, how did you, since this is your first restaurant that's really yours, mm-hmm. how did you come up with the layout of the menu? What did you want people to experience when they came to your restaurant?
Well, I want them to experience everything, but it's all little different categories.
Narrows it down.
No, you have all different little categories. You have a veg category. You have, you know, from the wood oven category. You have a pizza category. Mm-hmm. You have a pasta, you know, salads. And it's just meant to kind of have people to come in and share, you know, like, you know, growing up as a kid with a big family, you know, on Sundays, you know, you have 10, 12 people there and there's going to be a bunch of dishes and everyone would be sharing all these different dishes. You know, I wanted to kind of create the same feeling, but if you can come in with two people.
Right. Uh-huh. And so, well, let's talk. So are we seeing red sauce? Have we got gravy?
There will be red sauce and gravy on the menu. Yes, okay. There will be. I have a gnocchi that we're going to open up with. It's like my grandma's gnocchi and, you know, the pork ragu. Mm-hmm. Put a little burrata in it to kind of, you know, lighten it up.
Because it needs some richness, right? Just a little bit.
Just a little bit, you know.
You know, when people heard you were coming on the show, a number of them wanted me to ask you this. What is the situation really like?
What are you talking about?
Mike, the situation.
I know who that is.
Anyway, he's from New Jersey. They must know each other.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, we probably used to hang out at the clubs years ago. He just never left the scene, and I did.
Right, exactly. Right,
so, actually, I do have a serious question, because lately in D.C. there's been sort of an explosion of Italian restaurants, and Penn Quarter has been kind of at the heart of it, if you can assume. You know, you sort of stretch from where Roberto Donna is down to Bibiana and, you know, the Carmines. I mean, Fabio, there's all that. So are you risking being a victim of the over-Italianization of Penn Quarter?
You can never have too much Italian.
I'm not an Italian restaurant. I'm Italian-inspired. You're not going to see. My food is not what they do. I am in no competition with anyone in the city. I do what Mike Isabella does. I do graffiata food.
That's,
it's going to be fun. I mean, our list is awesome. We're all local product. You know, we're working on our flours being local, our dairy, our creams. I mean, you name it. We want everything to be local. That's why we're inspired. We're not really importing much. We don't have charcuterie. We have mostly all of our stuff is hams. We have a ham section, you know, mm-hmm. Virginia hams, Pennsylvania hams. You know, we wanted to take that same feel of Italy, but kind of make it to what we have, you know, because when you go to Italy, everything is local. Everything comes from the different farmers and different markets. But we wanted to incorporate that, but take everything from our markets and our farmers and our, and, you know, our states around the area. And
What does the interior look like?
Walk us through, you know, sort of the space.
Well, Graffiata is a two-floor restaurant. It's all glass windows when you walk by, but the whole front floor is like almost a bar from front to back. So it starts with a regular bar mm-hmm. about halfway through, and then there's a big pizza oven in the middle of the restaurant. There's another bar around that so you can sit there and eat.
Cool.
That's where we'll be cooking the pizzas and a lot of the wood oven food. And then
the pizzas are in the wood oven?
Yeah, pizzas are wood oven pizzas.
No, he just has the wood oven.
No, you can have a pizza oven and still have a wood fired up. Don't condescend to me. I'm having this radio show. I will go on strike. So everything's going to be cooked in there, right?
They custom designed a wood oven for me, so it has two entrances. One side is for pizza. The other side of the oven is for food, like, the roasted, we have oregano-crusted pork ribs with a little bit of yogurt.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we have different things. We have some local Virginia prawns that are coming in with a prosciutto red sauce, which
cool.
is really fun. But, yeah, the whole downstairs, it's we kept the floors that were built in the 40s. We have a brick wall from the 40s, the same ceiling. It's very industrial.
I have somebody here from the 40s. I kept him the same way, too.
I swear to God. Thank God you're insured, so when I kill you. Oh, wait. Did I say that on radio?
So it's a very industrial space.
She means I'm in my 40s.
Yeah.
And when you go upstairs is the main dining room. It's a little bit more warmer. We painted everything. We put the ceilings in. You know, all the tables were handmade for me and my father-in-law. We built everything. So I mean,
wait. Back that up. You made all the tables?
We made all the tables. It took us about 2 weeks. We went up to, me and my wife would go up on weekends, and we would build all the tables.
I'm looking for your wife. Where's your wife?
Back that up more. Your father-in-law is handy. My father-in-law would cut his arm off.
He carried most of the weight on everything
really
at the
impressive.
Tables. But yeah, and you know, my wife went shopping when I was doing all the labor. No, I'm just joking. She helped out.
That's something Nikki's good at.
She picked out the linens, I'm sure.
Exactly.
She's out there and she's staring through that window.
So. Yeah. She's like, you're taking me shopping
now. I feel
now.
Heat coming on my back right now.
Well, so let's talk about the beverage program. You have an old friend being the GM.
Yes, old friend of mine, James Horn, is coming from New York, working at some great places. We have, you know, we didn't, just because we're local with food, we wanted to do the same thing with wines and spirits and alcohols.
Right.
So about 20% of our wine list is like from Virginia, Maryland, and New York.
I love that.
And then everything else is domestic. We have about 15% Italian. We have Prosecco on tap.
Okay, we need to talk about Prosecco on tap.
We're the first restaurant.
I've never heard of a sparkling on tap ever.
I never did either. It's something me and my partner talked about, and he was just like, you know, I can get it. And he's been working on it. And I told him, I'm like, you better have it. And we have the kegs in the restaurant as we speak.
Kegs of Prosecco.
Yeah, it's gonna be really fun. I mean, I want people to come in and have fun. It's not about, you know, a tasting menu. It's not about a, you know, long dining time. I want you to come in. If you want to get a beer and a pizza, you can get in and out. If you want to sit down and dine, you can do that. I mean,
but you are doing a tasting menu, right?
We will, yes. I will offer one that, you know, I'll just take stuff from the menu.
I'm going to jump in with a question because we got about a minute and change. So you are still obligated to the Top Chef TV show to do stuff around the country, right?
Yes, a little bit. Very little. It's running out.
So is that winding down because I know you know this, extremely popular. You're like a big sex symbol. Not
funny.
In here and not now. Not with me, of course.
I hope not.
So, you're cute. But I mean, that's ending. So you will be in the restaurant. You will be behind the stove and all that.
I did pretty much my guarantee appearances with Top Chef.
Okay.
I will be there. I do have upcoming events. We have James Beard coming up. We're working on a cookbook. I mean, there's a lot of things.
We have to take a quick break. And when we come back, I do want to just talk about the cookbook a little bit. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
So this is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be talking more with Mike Isabella. Now, he may be pouring Prosecco, but we're going to be drinking champagne. We'll be back in just a sec.
What if learning a new language was as easy as watching your favorite TV show or playing your favorite video game? What if, while you were having your morning coffee, you could learn how to speak or read a new language? Well, now you can. Introducing an all-new, more powerful Rosetta Stone. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the all-new Rosetta Stone software is now easier than ever before. You can learn your new language on your computer, then practice in your car or on your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing a single word. It's never been easier to learn a new language. And to celebrate, Rosetta Stone is giving away free demo CD-ROMs of their all-new language immersion technology. To get yours absolutely free, call now, 1-800-900-2599. Immerse yourself in your new language. Call now and receive your free demo CD-ROM of the all-new Rosetta Stone software. 1-800-900-2599. For your free demo, call 1-800-900-2599.
Hi, this is Wayne Zell, host of Blueprint for Wealth, every Saturday here on Federal News Radio at 10 a.m. This week, my special guest is Dr. Alan Dappin, founder of DocTalker.com, a unique healthcare delivery model. Blueprint for Wealth is brought to you by Odin Feldman & Pittleman, a full-service law firm located in Fairfax, Virginia. Visit us on the web at ofplaw.com.
You hear the sounds of hammers and saws, but it's also the sound of freedom and independence. Across America, people are supporting Homes for Our Troops build specially adapted homes for our severely injured veterans. Now, it's your turn to help Sergeant Stephen Kiernan, who lost both legs while serving in Iraq. He volunteered to protect our freedom. You can volunteer your time, donate materials, or make a cash donation to this effort. Visit homesforourtroops.org or call 866-7-TROOPS.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. We have Top Chef, star chef
How about we take Top Chef off and we just say Graffiato,
well, the
restaurateur,
the
and
chef owner,
Mike Isabella.
You're interrupting me.
I can't help it.
I want a divorce, but not for about 20 years.
Okay.
Now you're doing a cookbook, too. Like, do you, What?
I'm in the weeds right now, as we like to say, in the kitchen. Yeah, I signed a cookbook deal with DiCapo, and actually
DiCapo is like the capo, like the capo di tutti cap, like sounds like a mafia thing.
They're made...
And that's not a slur. That's not an Italian thing, but it just sounds like...
Yeah, no, they're a production company based out of New York, and they are a national company. They're all over the country. They're going to really focus on my book. We kind of sold them on an idea called Flavors from a Jersey Italian.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously,
great.
Growing up in Jersey, you get a lot of that classic, you know, stuff. But it's a lot of stories about me growing up cooking with my grandmother and my mother, all the way to me now. Some of my travels through Greece and stuff, and different chefs I've worked for. So you'll see the evolution of the food grow. So you see a lot of classics in there. Some of them like my reinvented grandma's meatballs and gnocchis, and obviously with a lot of my touches and things like that throughout.
Will you be writing, will it be essay focused or recipe? I mean, what will there be stories
There's
in there?
Stories behind it. Carol Blamier
is
actually, we just hired her. She'll be writing the book for me.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and our focus, you know, when me and Carol were sitting down talking is I wanted her to really capture who I am. And you know, I mean,
who are you?
I don't even know sometimes.
Who is the real Mike Isabella?
My wife asked me the same question. But so Carol will be writing the book, and it's just, you know, me talking about, you know, going to the carnival and ordering, getting the Zeppelis and eating the Zeppelis and having the powdered sugar all over my shirt, and how I recreated those Zeppelis into what's going on in my book right now, and just a lot of stories and stuff like that behind it. Like, I just think people really want to know what goes on. You know, after the episode on Top Chef about you know, the whole family Ellis Island, people were
right.
You know, were really, really intrigued about me.
Mm-hmm.
I felt, and you know, that kind of helped with the whole book deal.
I find you sort of intriguing myself. All right, so I got a question for you. Who, we were talking about this last night, because when we have chefs on, we're talking about them. But whose work around the city do you admire? I mean, where, when you and your wife go out to eat, where do you go for a great
since
meal?
You've had some time to go out to eat.
And yes, I did have a little
time. Graziano's not open. Should we say that again? Good Lord.
You know, my favorite restaurant in the city, and I do say it a lot, is The Source. Scott does a phenomenal job.
Holler to Scott.
I mean, I always say it. And whenever you go to Scott's restaurant, you got to order the dumplings Mike Isabella style. You get like 20 different types of dumplings.
Okay.
He's been complaining to me about it because I tell everyone and
I
tweet
think Scott,
about it.
Scott has the best ponytail in town.
But, you know, I mean, I do like, you know, Toki Underground has a great ramen noodle soup. It's new, some young guys up on H Street, mm-hmm. You know, and, you know, obviously Central has a great fried chicken, and you gotta love the spreads at Zaytinga. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of great restaurants. Nick is killing it, Bibiana, yeah. You know,
totally
really,
great.
Really talented guy. And there's just so many upcoming chefs. It's just really great to be a part of the whole scene.
Do the young guys come to you for advice?
Some of them do, yeah. They really want to know how works to open up a restaurant. How do you, you know, what steps did you take? What are you doing? You know, with money, with this and that. And so, yeah, you know, I feel definitely like, you know, I want to help in any way I can, like all the tutelage that I got throughout the years from my other chefs.
Is it scary?
It is scary. You just never know what's going to happen until you open, you know. And
I have a feeling we know what's going to happen.
Well, listen, we wish you the absolute best of luck. We know that right now there's just no defined date because you're waiting for the city, but we'll be there.
Hopefully sooner than later.
Yeah, we're waiting.
All right, so it's Graffiato, GraffiAto. There's already a
Give
website.
Give them the address.
Yeah, it's graffiatodc.com. Mm-hmm. Just come check us out there. You'll see what's going on with the opening. Follow me on Twitter, Mike Isabella DC.
And the restaurant's on 6th Street right behind Verizon, right?
Right across the street from the Verizon.
NG, right?
Yeah, 6th and G.
So just walk by when it's open. Look for the people with the cap shirts on.
Yeah. All right. Mike, thanks so much. All right, well, before we have Mitch Berliner on the phone, but we want to go back.
Yeah, I want to go back to Suzanne and Jade. Ladies, here's a question for you. We were drinking champagnes first and talking about them and everything, but what makes champagne supposedly better, and why does it get to be so much more expensive than really, really good sparkling wines?
Or Prosecco on tap.
Yeah, that are the same. Yeah, that are the same thing, but not champagne because they don't come from that region in France.
Well, I wouldn't say better, but I would say the benchmark for sparkling wine all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a combination. It sounds trite if you're in the wine business because people say it all the time, but it's the terroir. It's the combination of the soil and the climate. You know, face it. Champagne, it's the most northerly location for winemaking in France, and it's a terrible place to make wine. You can't get the grapes ripe, and that's why they wound up making a sparkling wine with very high acid, very tart.
That's the first time I've heard that.
That's the fact.
Isn't that interesting?
It failed as a still wine region, mm-hmm. but once they figured out that when you make the wine sparkle, all that acidity is an incredible asset.
Here's another thing where the French have failed and they managed to turn it around and make it look like a victory.
They made lemonade from lemons. And
absolutely.
So it became the benchmark for sparkling wine all over the world. Mm-hmm. And it, unlike Prosecco, which you can make in a matter of months, champagne by law takes at least 15 months, but usually much, much longer to make. For example, one of the wines brought.
But the bubbles are so different in Prosecco. I mean, that's a much finer bubble. It's not even nearly as effervescent as a champagne.
And that's exactly the style. It's mm-hmm. meant to be what the Italians would call frizzante, frothy, right. rather than spumante, mm-hmm. or fully sparkling.
So what are you pouring next?
I see rosé.
We have a rosé. This is like Sunday brunch in a glass.
Uh-huh.
We have a rosé from another small boutique producer. The production is actually high, but this is a winemaking family that dates back to the 1600s. Mm-hmm. And we're really lucky in our area. As you know, we get all kinds of people who come here. Hélène de Sacy is the 12th generation of wine growers in his family. And he was here in the store a few months ago pouring this wine. And this is exactly the opposite of what you're saying. It's crazy reasonably priced. It's like $30, $35 a bottle, mm-hmm. and it's made from all Grand Cru vineyards.
Nikki, write this down. I only spent $8,000 on this bottle of champagne, honey.
And why is it so cheap? Because they've owned the property since the 1600s.
Right.
So, they can make fantastic top quality.
Well, it's beautiful. It smells... It just smells delicious.
This is all red grapes. A lot of people don't think about the fact that although most champagne is white, mm-hmm. two-thirds of the grapes that they grow in the Champagne region are red grapes. And usually the juice gets drawn immediately off the skin so that it remains white. But in this wine, they allow it to pick up a little bit of color and produce a rosé.
All right. Well, while we're sipping, we're going to turn now to the telephone. Mitch, are you there?
Yes, I am. Good morning, Chip.
We've got... Farmer Mitch Berliner on the phone from the Bethesda Central Farm Market. Mitch, I want to understand how this happened, because one minute you're D.C.'s ice cream king, and the next you're partnered with Ann Brody Cove, and you become the king and queen of locally sourced and sustainable foods. I know you reasonably well now. Did you suddenly grow a conscience? What happened?
It was pretty crazy. What happened was very simple. The best ideas are always simple ones. Ann and I have been talking about there's really no fantastic, comprehensive farmers market in the middle of downtown Bethesda, Chevy Chase area, and the people here are very sophisticated. They want this kind of stuff. They're highly educated, and why isn't there one? So bottom line is we went to Federal Realty, the Bethesda Road people. We said, you should have a market here, and they said, that's a great idea. And we said, oh, we can give you a little help if you want. They said, we don't know anything about this. You do it. Ann and I looked at each other and said, okay, so careful what you wish for.
Well, I think what you wished for was pretty good. What was your initial idea behind the market? I mean, we were there this morning and we picked up some glorious product. Did you imagine it to be 40 vendors? I mean, did you have something specific in mind, you and Ann?
Well, we did. We had several things in mind. Again, simple concepts. We wanted people to be able to get basically all their food shopping done. So we wanted meat and poultry and eggs and cheeses and, of course, produce. And we wanted farms from throughout the region, from West Virginia, Pennsylvania, Maryland, so that we could follow the season and have a very long season. We wanted fish. We wanted specialty items. We wanted a market that had everything. And we wanted best in class, and we wanted this to be what we call the next generation market.
So how did you do that? I mean, how did you find, I mean, as I said, we were there this morning, so like we got blueberries from Moody Blues, and we got those fabulous greens, the gourmet salad mix from the community garden. I mean, how did you find these people?
First, Ann and I combined, mm-hmm. I don't know if I should say this, because you're not supposed to talk about women's age, but combined, we've been in the food business for over 85 years.
So Ann is 25.
So Ann is 12, and you're,
right,
and you don't even deny it, because we've seen you.
Right. I'm 114 and 12.
Right.
So, so we just knew a lot of people, and we approached them. And interestingly enough, it's very interesting, in very short order, I was getting calls, emails from very unusual people, and we're doing things that other markets don't do. For instance, you got Moody Blueberries. Well, this guy specializes in blueberries. The first ones this season are called Dukes. They're very large, sweet blueberries. He's practically sold out right now.
But good thing we got there early.
That's all he does for the most part. And most markets would say, well, you need to be here year-round. You need to make a commitment. I want to help the farmers. I want to bring something unusual to the patrons of the market and people in the area. So we'll have people in and out as they have some specialty item. So it's a lot of work, but it's really worth it. And we do wine tastings here. We have free parking on Sunday.
Before we get into all that kind of stuff, sure. I want to go back to the vendors a little bit. So sure. You have really interesting vendors, too. I mean, we saw hickory syrup this morning.
Yes, there's only, I believe, something like 3 people in the country who figured out how to do it. Unlike maple syrup, where you take the sap from the tree,
right.
They're actually stripping the bark, and they have a process where they boil it down, concentrate it, and it's fabulous. As a matter of fact, we're making beef jerky with the hickory syrup. It's an all-natural product. You use it in a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It's the only thing they sell, and... he came to us through Community Garden, who you just mentioned, who has the most wonderful salad mix.
Well, can we talk about their salad mix for a second? Because it is glorious. You were telling me this morning, how many different kinds of lettuce are in their mix?
Well, it changes depending on what he has. Today he had 15. Last week was really unbelievable. He had 23 different types of greens in his salad mix. He fills an entire truck up. And that, believe me, I cannot tell you how many bags that is. He has 3 people selling and bagging, and he's got a line there all day. Without a doubt, it's the most unusual, delicious, organic, healthy salad green mix going.
He also has pea shoots, which are really almost out of season, but they're delicious and still tender. And he's just got this incredible product.
Yes, and he just put in 5 new huts. Mm-hmm. You know, similar to greenhouses. And so he's going to try to grow year-round. We are going to try to stay open year-round.
Oh, that's terrific. All right, Mitch, we have to take a quick commercial break. But when we come back, we want to ask you more about what else is going on at some of your other markets and some of the other producers that you have there. Can you just hold for 2 minutes?
Sure, and no fighting.
Okay. Yes. Okay. All right.
How well you know us.
This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're going to be talking about farmers markets when we get back.
How can I keep my child healthy during flu season? My teenager's always online. How can I be sure he's not into something harmful? Parents Perspective has the answers. Sundays at 4 p.m. on WFED 1500 AM. Designate Parents Perspective 44415 with a generous donation in the combined federal campaign or online at www.parentsperspective.org. Thank you for helping Parents Perspective work for you.
In case you didn't know, the Bethesda Central Farm Market is now open, and it's big. With around 40 vendors, folks have a ton to choose from, like local and organic produce, a huge selection of natural meats and poultry, eggs, cheeses, cured meats, take-home foods, and more. Plus, they've got a huge selection of bakery and organic breads, fresh ground coffee, and more, all from top-quality family farmers, orchard growers, and artisan food producers. And since I'm the Beast, you know I'm cheap, and I want to say that aside from the really big draw of great prices and great selection is the fact that there's free parking on Sundays when the farmer's market is open, and I love free parking. That's Bethesda Central Farm Market. It's open Sundays from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Elm Street in downtown Bethesda. Visit BethesdaCentralFarmMarket.com for more info and to sign up for their weekly e-blast with lots of info about special arrivals and more. Bethesda Central Farm Market. If you're not living on the farm, it's the next best thing.
I'm not just some tall drink of water, you know. I mean, I wash your dishes, I do the laundry, I help put out fires. I'm always there when you need me. 24/7, at home, at work, just about anywhere. And I'm not expensive, but I have great taste. Well, I guess I am a tall drink of water, but I'm tap water, and that makes me special. For more information about what only tap water delivers, visit drinktap.org.
Hello, everybody. You're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis and the fabulous all-star Mitch Berliner, the one of the two geniuses behind the Bethesda Central Farm Market. Are you still there, Mitch?
I certainly am. Thanks for having me on the air.
We got about another 3 minutes. I want to talk about some of the special events that you guys have coming up there. We got the whole download from you. You've got chef demos. You've got a kids club. Tell us something about
I want to know about the kids club. What is the kids club?
Can we drop them off and leave them?
Right. Can my kids stay?
Yeah, no, absolutely. That's we have a kids club here.
You're kidding.
You have to go to the website. My wife, that was her idea, Debbie Moser, and they do all kinds of different things with all kinds of fun art projects. She used to be the executive director of a wonderful art center, and they do things and they integrate, you know, the various nutrition, and they do recipes, and they do all kinds of fun things, and they have a lot of fun. We usually get 30, 40, 50 kids. There's no charge, and you need to go to the website to find out when the next kids club is. We do it about once a month.
Okay, and let's talk about your chef demos. How does that work at the market?
Well, we have different chef demos. We've had the people from Raku. I've had Peter Smith from PS7. We've had a lot of different local chefs, or chefs from downtown.
Who's there today? Who's there today?
Today we have Catherine Talmadge, and we have so much wonderful fruit. She just went around the market this morning, got all kinds of fruit, strawberries, blueberries, and she's showing people how to...
She's a nutritionist, right? Catherine's a nutritionist.
And she's a nutritionist slash chef,
mm-hmm.
and she's demoing chocolate-dipped fruits. Now, for the record, people need to know chocolate is a health food. I just want people to know that.
Duly noted. Absolutely noted. All right. Mitch, I know you're so busy because you're running this market. Just tell us quickly where people can find you, because you're not just available on Sundays. Where are your other markets?
The Bethesda Central Farm Market also operates on Bethesda Lane.
Mm-hmm.
That's that little lane. It's a pedestrian lane between Elm and Bethesda Avenue,
mm-hmm.
Like where Redwood Restaurant is. It's a smaller market. It's a midday market Thursdays from 11 to 3, and we have some different vendors there as well, and some of the same. Some of the same vendors are people like Upper Crust Bakery right here in Montgomery County. They make some of the most fabulous European-style breads. We also have a wonderful outfit out of Baltimore that does smoked salmon many, many different ways, smoked trout. They're a wonderful addition there. And so those are the two Bethesda Central Farm Markets that we're running. We also have... At the Sunday market, we have wine tastings. We are the only market that features almost every single Sunday throughout the year, and we feature a different Maryland winery. Most people don't even know, but Maryland has about 50 wineries now.
All right. Well, we were there, so we can attest to the fact that the thing was almost still opening up, and there were already tons of people jamming the booth. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah, we are really getting big crowds. We're people-friendly. We're dog-friendly. A lot of markets don't allow dogs, but we have nice wide aisles, so we welcome everybody. And what's interesting, it's really a community-minded market. We've done things with the Red Cross. We've done blood drives. We are very hooked in with Mana Foods, the Montgomery County Food Bank, where we have a grant and we go purchase from the farmers at the end of the market each week. We purchase all stuff that's left over. We send not canned goods, but fresh food to the Mana Food Bank every week. So we're
that's
very
excellent.
Proud of that.
All good. All excellent. Right. Mitch, unfortunately, we got to go. That's Mitch Berliner from the Bethesda Central Farm Market, the new advertiser on this show. Bless your heart.
Thank you, Mitch. We'll definitely see you next weekend.
Oh, I thank you guys for coming to the market and having me on the show. All the best. And remember, no fighting.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
All right. Let's go back to Suzanne McGrath and Jade Floyd. Jade, tell us about what the Center for the...
Can people get involved?
Center for Origins of Wine.
Well, we have about... there's the retail program. There's the Wine Location Specialist Certificate. We partner with about 186 retailers across the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Here within D.C., there's about 20 stores, including Bacchus, Bell's Wines and Spirits, Divino's, Divine's.
Oh, so you're working with a lot of people.
Exactly. And so retail store owners, they can touch base with us at www.wineorigins.com. We provide them with all kinds of materials they can give out to their customers, from bags to brochures to pairing wheels. Sommeliers, chefs, wine educators, they have the opportunity to take our wine location specialist program. Mm-hmm. The program was actually created by Sandy Block. He's a master of wine.
Okay.
There's about 260 masters of wines within the whole world, and he is one of 30 within the United States. So it's the highest distinction that you can have. And the online exam, it's about an hour. The next one's going to take place in September. But once you've studied the extensive study guide, you're then accredited by the CIVC and the IVDP to lead port and champagne tastings, seminars across the U.S.
That's a license to drink port.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, there. So I see this gorgeous...
Any port in a storm. Right.
You knew that was going to come at some point.
Thank you.
I see this beautiful decanter that is filled with some, like, velvety liquid. What is that?
We have a vintage port.
A vintage port.
But this is my top port tip of the day.
Okay.
It is not what you would call a true vintage port. It is what you would call a single quinta port. And the reason, the distinction, is mm-hmm. that this is a 1998 port from Churchill, and 1998 was not a declared vintage year. It wasn't one of the best years when the growers will bottle a port with a vintage date on it.
Okay.
But in those years, if it's still a pretty good year and a producer has an estate, a quinta, mm-hmm. that produced good fruit.
What is a quinta?
A quinta is just a vineyard, an estate.
That's it? Okay.
That's all it means. And so this one happens to be called Agua Alta. It's one of the vineyards of the Churchill Port Wine Company, and it produced grapefruit. In 1998, it was a more sheltered location.
It went against the norm.
Went
it
against
just did something
norm.
Better. Okay.
And so they bottle it. They put a vintage date on it. Why is it my greatest port tip? Because single quinta ports are half the price of vintage ports.
Really? Why?
They are made exactly the same way, but it's not a declared vintage. And so it in a vintage like 2000, when everyone declared a vintage, if you buy vintage port, you can expect to spend about $100 a bottle. If it's a single quinta port, mm-hmm. you can expect to spend about $50 a bottle. So, but they're made exactly the same way. They're aged exactly the same way. And frankly, for most folks, they're ready a little bit earlier. So
well, I have to say what's interesting, because some ports have such a prune smell immediately. I mean, they're so sweet. This is not, you almost smell the alcohol on this first.
Yeah. It's
a very,
very
different.
And it's a very elegant wine. It's very silky. And part of the reason is it's already aged over 10 years. This is a 1998.
It's delicious.
It's delicious. It's silky and ready to go right now.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I'm going to have to jump in because
we can't wax poetic about port any longer.
Your eyebrows, wax anything. Just do it quietly. I want to bring in executive pastry chef Ben McCormick from the Roof Terrace Restaurant at the Kennedy Center.
Who has come bearing gifts.
Ben has brought in, I don't even know how to describe it. This is like, just don't let my kids in here. The most mm-hmm. gorgeous array of pastries, and it's all to celebrate the fact that Wicked, the hit Broadway show, is coming to the Kennedy Center on June 18th, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct. Yep.
Man. No, June 15th. June 15th through the middle of August. So tell us why you're going to all the trouble to celebrate Wicked this way.
Well, actually, we came up with this concept with Mary Poppins. We did a high tea.
Is she real?
As far as I know.
She's your collaborator.
That's right. And we did a high tea and we did a cupcake decorating with mm-hmm. the cupcake craze going on. It was great. We had parents and kids come in. I get to go out there and play with the kids for a couple hours. And we decided to do something similar with Wicked. We're actually doing witch's hat, flourless chocolate cakes with witch's hats.
Mm-hmm.
So we can kind of incorporate a little bit more adult and children. But we're going to do the similar thing. We're going to do decorating. We're going to do a little workshop with the families.
So it's something that families can come in prior to the show, after
Actually,
the show? How does it work?
Before the show on matinee days, mm-hmm. on Saturday and Sundays. And what we're going to have a high tea set up with mini desserts, mini tea sandwiches, teas.
Mm-hmm. Camera person.
And, all the trimmings plus the decoration. And I'll be there to do some hands-on training.
How much fun!
I think it's going to be a blast.
So. Actually, let's hold those up.
Yeah,
too.
They're gorgeous.
Jade will now demonstrate the.
Jade, you may have a second career here. You're
like
very good at display.
White.
Yes, you're very
Jane
good.
Taught. Jade could have lots of careers.
I know.
There we go.
Well, so let's back up a little bit and talk about you. You were in Easton before here.
Actually, I came even farther back. I came from Wyoming.
Okay, you came from far away.
Are you a cowboy?
I went to the University of Wyoming, so I was a cowboy.
You were a cowboy.
I went backwards. I studied economics, and then I decided to be a pastry chef. So,
Yeah, we'll discuss the math afterwards. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
I took an economics course once. The first day after they did supply and demand, I got lost and dropped out.
I didn't know what a widget was. That was the end of it for me. Yeah,
I ended up at the Ritz-Carlton in New Orleans. I opened up my own shop for a couple of years, and then I ended up at a restaurant local in Easton, Maryland, on the Eastern Shore. Unfortunately, the owner got killed in a helicopter accident.
I remember.
Josh Freeman?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
Yeah.
And so that kind of put an end to that project, unfortunately. I ended up at the Kennedy Center. I guess you'd end up worse.
Right?
So, and just been plugging along. I've been there for almost 3 years.
Well, it's such a beautiful dining room.
Oh, it's got the best views
in the city.
In DC.
Well, that's the thing that we were talking about before during one of the breaks, because a lot of people, granting that the restaurant's only open when there's shows in the Kennedy Center, correct?
Correct.
But
it makes it a hard restaurant.
That's all the time. I mean, you're open a lot, and I don't know that everybody thinks of it as a destination restaurant if you're not going to a show, but we've gone down there for a meal, and we had a blast.
Yeah.
And it is the best view in the city.
And we also have the Sunday brunch every Sunday, which is actually in the kitchen.
Well, and
which
is Father's Day is coming
Father's
up next
Father's Day is coming
week.
Up. We're having a big barbecue. Brunch.
And I'm a father. After all this time, I finally figured out why I have five kids.
Right.
So five people cannot give me presents.
So we can all forget you on Father's
right,
Day.
Right, exactly. That's six times the insult.
So when it came to doing this, do they say, this is what we want to do, or did you come up with the ideas?
I get to come up with ideas. It's a lot of fun, actually, because every show is different. So we come up with different desserts. Like, we had Young Frankenstein, and I did a chocolate Frankenstein head, and I did a chocolate sundae coming out, you know.
Right.
It's been a lot of fun that way, because you always got to be coming up with the next thing, you know, for the next show, and trying to come up with, you know, things for the Russian ballet, to the tease, to, you know, Mary Poppins, to the Wicked.
Well, I can only imagine how many dignitaries that you've served.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
I bet.
You know, presidents. We had a tea the other day for the Dutch Queen.
She was in town. That's right.
So, you know, get it. Do, you know, Oprah Winfrey when the Color Purple was there.
Mm-hmm. Would you do the same thing for a princess? Because Nikki will come down.
Everything. Everybody gets treated.
We've got 1 minute before we take a break. I just want to ask something, because in all the notes we saw, you've got a special Emerald City inspired bubbly beverage that's green. What is that? Do you remember?
He doesn't remember.
We like to stump our chefs.
I think John was here the other day.
Yeah, John Coco wasn't.
He's the creator of that. So.
But we didn't get to talk about Wicked. All right, when we come back, we'll give you a break. We're going to talk a little bit more about what you guys are doing over there at the Roof Terrace restaurant at the Kennedy Center. This is David and Nikki Nellis with Foodie and the Beast. We're also going to have some white port, and I'm going to be digging into some chocolate cake. We'll be back in just a sec.
I'm Dr. Linda Van Eldick, a biomedical scientist supported by the American Health Assistance Foundation. I conduct research aimed at discovering new and effective treatments for Alzheimer's disease. This is critical because more than 1,000 Americans develop Alzheimer's every day. At our website, you can learn how to live with or care for someone with the disease. Call 1-800-437-2423 or go to ahaf.org for a free brochure on understanding Alzheimer's disease.
Don't miss the first annual Backgammon Beating Cancer Tourney, Saturday, February 26th, to benefit the wellness community, providers of free programs of emotional support, education, and hope for people with cancer and their loved ones. Beginners to experts are welcome. For more information, call David Ogden at 301-717-7166. For more information about the wellness community of Greater Washington, call 301-493-5002. All programs at the wellness community are provided free of charge.
What if learning a new language was as easy as watching your favorite TV show or playing your favorite video game? What if, while you were having your morning coffee, you could learn how to speak or read a new language? Well, now you can. Introducing an all-new, more powerful Rosetta Stone. Developed to fully immerse you in your new language, the all-new Rosetta Stone software is now easier than ever before. You can learn your new language on your computer, then practice in your car or on your smartphone or MP3 player without ever opening a book or memorizing a single word. It's never been easier to learn a new language. And to celebrate, Rosetta Stone is giving away free demo CD-ROMs of their all-new language immersion technology. To get yours absolutely free, call now, 1-800-900-2599. Immerse yourself in your new language. Call now and receive your free demo CD-ROM of the all-new Rosetta Stone software. 1-800-900-2599. For your free demo, call 1-800-900-2599.
We're back on Foodie and the Beast with David and Nikki Nellis. Before we get back into the show with Chef Ben McCormick, I just want to thank the people that make the show possible. Great sponsors, Georgetown Bagelry, the best bagels in town.
They're warm, they're yummy.
Neighborhood Restaurant Group, the folks at Founding Farmers and Farmers and Fishers, Modus Hospitality Group, Noti Bianchi, Dish, and Circle Bistro, great restaurants right down near the Kennedy Center. Charles Schwartz and Son Fine Jewelers, and our friends at Bethesda Central Farm Market. We got all these advertisers.
We got scapes today at the market.
We got scapes at the market. All right, so
Chef, Ben, what would you do with scapes?
You're
a pastry chef.
He's like, you're killing me.
He put them in a drink and turned it green, right?
It's bubbly.
All right. So,
Chef, these are going to be sort of classes that you're doing.
Right.
At the Kennedy Center after the matinees, only on Saturday, right?
Saturday and Sunday, Saturday and Sunday matinees.
Okay, so people need reservations. You can't just show up.
Yeah, www.riffterracerestaurant.com. Okay. You can make a reservation.
Are there tickets left for Wicked?
I think for some of the shows.
Did you bring two for?
I got some in my car for you.
Excellent.
Really, it's a bit in a trunk.
I mean, it was nice of you to bring the pastry, but we really want his tickets.
It's one of the first shows that actually shut their system down as soon as it opened.
I believe it.
So, yeah, wow. It's very popular.
We were just kidding about the tickets, but you have them, we'll take them.
So tell us a little bit about the class and how it will go and what people can expect while they're there.
Yeah, well, they'll show up. It's very relaxed. We have our food set up, so you know the parents or the kids can all eat and enjoy. Mm-hmm. We have the table set up. They have little chef hats and little aprons. They come in.
Not witches' hats?
Not for this one. You know, I'll talk to the GM.
Maybe you can lend them yours.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you.
I had to get back for that 40th comment. It's all right.
Score one for the home team. All right.
But I got paintbrushes for, I got colored cocoa butter warmed up so they can draw on the hats. I got different decorations they can put on there. And, you know, we'll do a little assistance, show them how to work the piping bag. You know, show them, talk a little bit about the chocolate that you know, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. The last one we did was amazing. We had a great time. The kids they all left happy and parents full of food and their kids full of sugar. So it was great.
Well, you know, I mean, I really do think, I mean, I have children, that more and more with the Food Network and all the cooking shows that are on TV, kids get it. I mean, it's not just about eating sweets. There's something about the process of making it look good. Understanding where it comes from. I mean, my kids go to the farmers markets. They understand.
Well, not only that, they had a big cooking class out of Cookology, and they loved it.
Yeah, my daughter, she's 10. She's actually doing a cooking camp this summer.
Excellent.
So she's all about it.
Would she like to meet a nice 11-year-old boy?
Not yet. Dad's not ready for that yet.
All right, well, Chef, thank you for bringing in all these wonderful treats.
Thanks for having me.
You know, we're hoping we can get tickets and get our kids to one of your classes this summer. Ladies, we're going to go back to you.
Stick around.
Suzanne and Jade. We got just a couple minutes left. Tell us what you're going to pour next. And, you know, tell us how people can get in touch with you.
Absolutely. You know, you can visit us online at www.wineorigins.com. Mm-hmm. There you can learn about port, champagne, our efforts for location. But also you can follow us on Twitter. We're at Wine Origins. Mm-hmm. We're on Facebook. And we are also sponsoring a number of wine festivals across the U.S.
Okay.
The most recent one that's coming up is San Diego Wine and Food Festival. That's a little later in the year, but we're one of the premier sponsors. We'll be there. We'll have some VIP tastings, education sessions, mm-hmm. and also, of course, be there at the Grand Tasting, pouring you great champagnes and ports.
What about locally? Anything coming up locally that you'll be doing?
Locally? Well, we have our ambassadors are actually going to be in town next week. Mm-hmm. And they're going to be dining out at Proof, and they're going
to
be...
That's a good place
it's
to
amazing.
Be doing it.
The wine there is amazing. We're also going to be at Plume at the Jefferson.
Sure.
And Michael Scafidi, the sommelier there, is mm-hmm. going to be leading a number of education sessions. So,
well, I got a question for Suzanne, because, you know, when you buy a bottle of wine from Chianti country, there's the Gallo Nero and, you know, Di Origine Controllata and all that stuff. Are there that kind of certifications and controls for ports?
Absolutely. Just like you see the pink strip over the top of a Italian wine or the rooster on a bottle of Chianti, with port, you also have a white strip that covers the top of the bottle, and that is your sign of authenticity. So
is that strip?
A strip right here. Mm-hmm. You may see, for example, you may see a wine from Australia or a wine from California that's called port. It won't have a strip like this. So okay. It's an easy way for consumers to know they're getting the real deal. They don't have to look too closely at where it's from. They know if they see a strip like that, that's the real deal.
Now, let's just talk about the white port that you just poured. I mean, it looks like cognac.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like... First of all, it's in this white bottle. You have no idea what's in there.
This is a very modern style port bottle. This is a little bit out on a limb, I would say. This is from a French-owned port house, Roses. Okay. Which is the only French-owned port house that I know of. Mm-hmm. And they want to make it a little more accessible. They want to make it hip for young people to try port, which is such a traditional dish.
So college kids, underage college kids, listen up.
Not underage. But we've been talking about white port all morning. People really don't know about it.
I didn't know about it.
It's a go-to drink for me this summer. I've really been turning people onto it. We had a white port tasting at mm-hmm. Curious Grape a couple of months ago, and people went crazy. You would drink it chilled.
Okay.
As you can see, it's sort of a golden color. It's not truly white. But they're not very sweet, as some other types mm-hmm. of ports. You could drink it with a little bit of chill on it, or you can do with as the Portuguese do during the summer. You turn it into a white port cocktail. Mm-hmm. Mix it with a little bit of tonic water. And some people say a twist of lime, but I get a lot of orangey, apricotty flavors in these wines. I think a little twist of orange would be even better.
Interesting. But you could even put it over ice.
You could totally put it over ice. And you can also drink some of the tawny ports with a little bit of a chill on them as an aperitif, too.
Okay.
It's not something people would think. I think one of the problems with port is they think of it as a dessert wine.
Right.
But these are wines that I would pair with savory things. Blue cheeses, strong cheeses, salted nuts, toasted almonds, mm-hmm. serve it with that, and all of a sudden it's a fantastic aperitif.
I'm glad I'm doing this show because I'm...
Look how much
I'm
you're learning.
I'm 150 years old. I don't know any of this stuff. And that's...
Well, we are running out of time, but Suzanne, we do want to tell people that the Curious Grape is moving. We can't say where.
I know where.
But I don't.
I made her tell.
Okay. But it's coming back soon.
It's coming back soon.
So the Curious Grape, right now, the doors are closed in Shirlington.
Yes, we're closed for our transition.
Okay.
And we will be reopening, hopefully September, October timeframe.
Okay.
And we will be announcing very soon where. It won't be far, mm-hmm. But we have not yet disclosed the new location. But the most important thing, it's going to be bigger, better, a lot more fun for us and for
everybody
our customers.
Else.
Yeah.
All right. Well, actually, you can follow the progress of the Curious Grape along with a lot of other things on the list of you on it.com.
Mm-hmm.
Shameless plug. It's free to subscribe, and you can literally, there are hundreds of events listed on there. You find out what you want to know and do, and all you got to do is go to thelistareyouonit.com, spelled the way it sounds.
Well, we want to thank you both for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.
So much education.
So
excellent. All right.
Fun.
So, as we do on every show, we like to make a point of a specific charity. There's a fantastic event going on tomorrow night
yep.
that Chef Michel Richard is backing. Lots of chefs in the area are participating.
It's called Chefs in the City.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the local D.C. chapter of the Cystic Fibrosis Foundation. And mm-hmm. Chef Richard are hosting this at Decatur House on Lafayette Square, which is a great building. I happen to have been part of the team when I was in college that renovated the place. It's gorgeous inside. It's unbelievable.
And That's the most bizarre piece of information.
Well, I've been
ever.
Inside. It's gorgeous, and I slacked off as much as possible.
Okay.
So, but it's going to unite top chefs, each of whom from the area, will be designing a 5-course tasting menu. So that's great.
Mm-hmm.
And you can get information. This is a tough one, but it's metrodc.cff.org/chefs-in-the-city.
Or you can go to the list, or you want it.com.
Is that where you kicked me?
Click on Monday. No, you're jingling.
She's so mean.
I mean.
All right.
You can go to the list, or you want it.com, click on local events, and look at Monday. All the information is there. There are still a couple tickets left, and you can certainly get in on that. And as we do on every show, we like to leave you with a little quote.
And since we had Mike Isabella on, I got a quote about Italian food from a very famous Italian, Miss Piggy, who said, Italian restaurants with more than 120 entrees are always disappointing. Thank you, Miss Piggy. So we want to thank our guests, chefs Mike Isabella and Ben McCormick, Jade Floyd, Suzanne McGrath, and the always fun Mitch Berliner. Next week, it's Father's Day. It's my day, everybody.
It is Father's Day, but
so
we have
get your
such...
pocketbooks out.
Well, I have a surprise for you for Father's Day,
I'll
but I'm not going to tell you what it is.
Yeah, it's nothing, honey.
And it's not food-related either.
Oh,
totally
really?
Different.
Another baby?
God.
God, help me.
But next week's show is going to be great. The people from the Lobster Truck are coming in. Now, they've been in before, but they've launched a new truck, and they're going to be bringing it here, and we're going to be digging into lobster rolls. So we'll totally have a good time with that. And cookbook author Domenica Marchetti, she just launched her new book all about pasta. I was fortunate enough to be at Bibiana on Tuesday night and got a taste of all the delicious dishes. So she's going to be talking about that. And Et Voila, the fantastic Belgian restaurant out on MacArthur Boulevard.
Yep.
The
mussels
chefs are coming in. We're going to be doing mussels and beer. And lastly, Rammy season is upon us. June 25th is the Rammy Gala. So if you haven't been...
I'm all of Twitter. What will I wear?
I don't care what you're wearing, but I'm getting my hair done. But anyway, grab your mask. It's going to be fun. And all of the bars who are nominated for Hottest Bar Scene are coming in and mixing up cocktails. So it should be terrific
And we've
fun.
Got about 20 seconds. I quickly want to thank... I just realized the guys behind the scenes who make this show possible. So thank you, Andy. Sharon. Nikki Boy, thanks for making this show possible. You do a great job. All right, that's it. We're done. Have a great
weekend. Have a delicious
week.
WFED Washington, WWFD Frederick, WWWTFM HD2 Manassas, WTOPFM HD2 Washington, the Washington, D.C. home of Navy Athletics.
Paid commercial program and may not represent the views of Bonneville International Corporation or Federal News Radio. Statements and opinions from this broadcast are solely those of the individual contributors or advertisers as indicated. Federal News Radio does not take responsibility for those statements or opinions and accepts no responsibility or liability for any inaccuracy, errors, or omissions reported during this program.
Welcome to the Lifelong Wells Nutritional Hour with the phenomenal Cheryl Wells. This program will feature the fastest nutritional discoveries available, and our special guest will talk about natural healing and prevention methods in caring for your health. And now, here's Cheryl Wells.
Hello, everyone. How are we all doing out there? This is Cheryl Wells, and you're listening to the Lifelong Wells Nutrition Hour. I'm so excited about today's show because we're going to be talking about a revolutionary, unique product on the market called BioVac.